Welcome to another episode of the Brown and Black Podcast. My name is Jack Rico.
And I'm Mike Sargent.
And every week we take a look at race and pop culture through a brown and black lens. Well, Mike, on this episode, we had the pleasure and the chance of interviewing the incredibly talented Afro-Indigenous singer Gotopo, whose music is often described as something I had never really heard of until we were about to talk to her, called ancestral futurism. Can you break that down for me again?
Well, you know, it's interesting because what I took from the concept of ancestral futurism, the idea is looking back to repair the future. So looking back to repair the future to me means you have to integrate a knowledge of the past in order to properly navigate the future. And yes, she does that in her music.
We talked about in this interview that I felt is so important for everybody, the ability for her art to fuse the past, the future, and the present somehow in her artwork using pop culture to create a lot of these conversations. Because I remember her saying that what she really loves about entertainment and pop culture is that you can talk about some really dense stuff, some really maybe even controversial stuff like in Watchmen. But then win like 22 nominations and who knows how many other Emmy Awards. So I really love the part where you talked about the remapping of the DNA of the future of a culture.
To really know your roots. And we talked about even her finding out what her name actually means culturally. Yeah. And how that changes your perspective about yourself. So if you can change your perspective about yourself from the knowing about the past, you get perspective about your present and, of course, what your future will be.
Bueno, Gotopo, thank you so much for being on the Brown and Black Podcast.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Your music has been described as ancestral futurism. For our audience, what does this term mean to you personally, and how do you weave together the ancestral and the futurist part in your artwork, in your music?
I love that question because I love how, for example, all the complexities around the conversations of the African diaspora all around the world and the phenomena of colonization and all this stuff, the way, for example, all of these movements that already have advanced along history and have got us until the point where we have a representation in pop culture. Just one random example, like many. The way pop culture manages to play in the frames of like history, accuracy, fantasy, social conversation, all of it together, and create like reimagine a universe where, on the one hand, we can remind ourselves of things that should be kind of obvious that we're living among every single day, but sometimes are not. Conversations that are not being had, as well as reimagine a fresh present that we want to turn into a fresh future for our generation and the one to come. I love the capacity that art in entertainment and pop culture has to create a conversation from a place that is sometimes less polarizing, less uncomfortable. It is still will be uncomfortable for many and unluckily polarizing because it shouldn't be. I feel in my heart it should never be. But somehow, sometimes it happens that we get heated and we don't reach a point of harmony in certain conversations. So for me, having art as a channel, as a space to deal with conversations that sometimes through politics, through somehow get a little bit stuck for years. Sometimes in the space of art, we can figure stuff out from a place of more comfort and kindness, and sometimes even faster, and help society move faster into a place where we all feel better, where we all feel just safer, well. All of them. And that's something that I love, what pop culture has, how pop culture has taken the path that the African diaspora will needed it to be. And that's amazing. And for me, it's like the same, but in this case, more applied to the experience Afro-Indigenous, Latin American people who, because of the process of colonization, lost connection of their ancestral memory, right? Lost touch. Their identity from an ancestral and cultural point of view, because it's a historical forgetfulness that we were forced into because of the process of colonization. And I don't know, it's beautiful to look around today and feel as a young person that I'm not anymore so alone in the need of understanding so many things, that I do it through art. So I call it ancestral futurism because it's imaginative and it's playful. It also wants to be very accurate. Even though it sometimes is hard for someone like me, for example, I cannot recover so many things in such an accurate way. But it happens not only to me. That's the beauty of it. I decided to open the conversation for my art because I know it's not just me. It's millions of us dealing with these questions, wondering about things that we never chose to forget. We were forced into forgetting them. And I'm pretty sure when I released Malembe, the music video, oh my God, the comments, people were asking so many things, saying so many things, almost crying in the comments, laughing in the comments, like touching their chest, like, thank you, spirits. Thank you, ancestors. I didn't get to know you, ancestors, but thank you. And that, which means, you know, what I felt was true. It's not me. It's not mine. It's ours. I just wanted to share it out. You know what I mean? I wanted to express it for my own well-being and my own process, but also for everyone else's who also belongs to the same group, like I do. Malembe manita, malembe numa. Malembe manita, malembe numa. Un paso pa'lante y otro para atrás. Un paso pa'lante y otro para atrás. Tengo muchos años de pena en el alma. Con muchas tormentas y con poca calma.
Well, I love what you said, and I have to say I love your music, and I love the entire... I'm a big science fiction person, so... For me.
Wow, I love that. Turn out in the room.
You have no idea. Okay, so I love the term ancestral futurism. And it's been said that to be colonized, to be a slave, to be a brown person, and to even envision not being enslaved, that's futurism. That's science fiction. That just to go there. So it's something that I think, like you said, we embrace without even knowing it. Because I see what you've done with your art and your music, it's storytelling. And by talking about the future, by imagining the future, but also being connected to the past, I feel you're doing something that's important. It's sort of like remapping the DNA of a culture.
I love that. It's beautifully said. Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's easy to get lost. There's a lot of distractions. So I'm asking you, that intersection between music, science fiction, the past, how did that come to you, and why do you do what you do?
I love this question. It's so magical. I love the game between accuracy, magic, imagination. You know what I mean? Like what I said about the example of Black Panther, what it has done to society somehow, how it has helped. Not that it did it on its own. It became part of a bigger conversation that was already there.
It tapped into something that was always waiting to be spoken about.
Exactly. It's like it was building up to a moment when art would open a new space to deal with the same conversation, just from a new energy point. And And that's why, like, I figured out, okay, I'm going through this process. I went to this village as a preteen, right? I was touring back in the day with a kid orchestra from El Sistema, mm-hmm. which is a project where I professionally developed myself, my music education in many ways. And I was traveling with this orchestra in the region where my family came from. But because a lot of family disconnections, people didn't get to meet, and relationships I didn't have inside my own family, well, it was for me like an exciting trip as well. So I'm there in the Plaza Bolívar, among millions of Plaza Bolívars that we have in Latin America. So I'm there. And as always, there's this old man playing dominoes there, right? But also very, very common picture that we always find. And then this, I'm just watching them play. And one of them says, "Señorita, ¿cómo te llamas?" So I tell them my family name, Gotopo. And he goes, "The chief." And I'm like, wait a minute. What chief? The last chief, Gotopo.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Did you see? Like, it was this very strange blend of, wow, what an incredible thing, what an empowering discovery, what a beautiful thing. But then, I think it has to feel like when you have your crypto investment and it goes like up and then it's down by 100%. I feel like the peak of the 100% rates in 5 minutes. Oh, I'm signing and then boom, down 500%. I felt the pain. I felt the euphoria first. And then I'm like, wait a minute, but why did anybody in my family ever mention anything about it? They don't know. That's what it, they have no idea. Because even in the most innocent way, I went back and tried to flirt with the idea. Nobody has a clue. So I knew nobody, just nobody knew it. And I figured out that in time, it was not so quick because I was very young. But in time, this just planted a seed in me. And I became more and more curious and more and more and more curious. And I started to dig and see myself in the mirror and look at my skin and talk to people and remind myself of all my experiences growing up, wanting to straighten my hair, wanting to have a softer skin. And why do I even want that? And all these things came together. And then I, of course, became more mature, started to read, started to figure out history and everything and the things that were never told to us in history book. Because the winner writes the history, right? So I figure there's a lot of more history that I was never told, right? And my family's own family, but also a lot of social history that was never told to me. And I was like, wow, okay. So the more I realized, the more this blend between beauty and pain started to blend inside of me. And of course, there comes a tipping point where you need to find ways to cope and also ways to calls to action, right? Inside of yourself. And of course, I already was an artist since early on. I was always around music and music was always part of my life. So I'm like, okay, what better way, right? So there's many things about my personal process that I might share at some point in the future, but that's when Malembe came into play.
Malembe manita, Malembe numa. Malembe manita, Malembe numa. Un paso para adelante y otro para atrás. Un paso para adelante y otro para atrás. Tengo muchos años de pena en el alma. Con mucha tormenta y con poca calma. Tengo muchos años de pena en el alma. Una herida vieja que aún se desangra. Yo no puedo escuchar la voz de mis ancestros. Puedo ver en mi sueño cuando me duermo. Yo puedo sentir en mi carne lo que sintieron. Perdono, pero nunca olvido. Malembe, malembe, malembe.
And that's why for me, Malembe is like a kind of, it's a short version of this, I think, this bittersweetness that makes us, I think, in the whole continent and everywhere where there's been these painful historical processes. Let's say America now, because we're talking about the colonization in America. This bittersweetness that makes us, right? Because even if we are the ones who don't remember and have forgotten, we have it in the skin, we have it in our DNA, we know things.
Yeah, we know things. I love that part.
Beautiful things, painful things. Our DNA knows. I really believe in that. And the more time passes, the more I realize It's true. At some point, like everything, science will figure it out later. But to your question, imagination, creativity, and storytelling, I felt it was going to be a more sustainable way to, because I knew it was going to be a long way to go since the realization of what I've achieved until whatever comes my way. I knew it was going to be an extensive process throughout my life.
Wow. So. Drawing from your experiences as a Venezuelan immigrant in Berlin, you've talked a lot about finding creative freedom as an artist in that city. And that city historically has created some of the greatest art in the world. What did you bring home from Venezuela to Berlin that influenced your music?
Llega el fin del mundo y que vamos a hacer. Sé que en lo profundo saben lo que sé. Que lo que vale hoy, mañana chatarra. Vuelve a la conexión, la fuerza natural. A mí me dijo mamá que guarde la semilla.
So that's interesting because I feel it's a very abstract question because there are conscious things that you bring, but then most of them are really unconscious. Are just in you, in the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you treat people, the way everything about you. A lot of it is just unconscious and spontaneous. But Germans compared to Latin Americans are very big in terms of one of the different things that many people maybe know about or maybe don't know about is Latin American people are very expressive, joyful, noisy, very social. They make friends in 5 minutes, right? Whereas Germans are much more reserved, much more. I was giving the example. I love it because somebody told me before, like, I don't know. I don't remember who, but someone told me like, yeah, like doing a friendly in Germany is like unpeeling an onion. You have to like layer. And I found it cute because it is true. Like it takes time. But once you get to the center of the onion, it's a real beautiful, shiny onion. Like it's authentic. So it's a different culture. It's like it takes the way to communicate seems to be back in the day, like longer, more complicated. And of course it was very difficult at the beginning. And eventually I realized, okay, because I was the way I was, explosive, spontaneous, expressive, joyful, I always smile a lot. That's also not every day out there here, right? So, and also I came in the winter. In winter, always people had the saddest possible face they could ever have because it's very cold, okay? Very, very cold. And it's tough and it's long and dark and, oh. And people's like, wait a minute. Why are you smiling? I mean, not that they would say it, but it was kind of like, oh, the facial expression was like, oh, that's fine. So I think that Venezuelan-ness and Latin American-ness, just being myself, I feel was one of the most powerful things that I brought with me, really. The way it opened opportunities for me, the way it opened like people's hearts a little bit faster than usual. And also the way it allowed me to communicate beyond language when I could not speak German yet. That was definitely very strong. And of course, I realized in time at the beginning, I'm just going my way. But then I realized this, yeah, I get it now. It comes across as very different because here things are so different. People communicate very different.
In Billie Jean, Michael Jackson told us to take his advice and remember to always think twice. So, that's what we're doing.
We began to sell 1 million copies a week. It just exploded and went on to another level.
Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation for the first time in 1993. This is the story of what came before and what came after.
I'm a mother, and I remember being aghast. Can this be true? We could be watching the downfall of a superstar.
I'm Leon Nafok.
And I'm Jay Smooth. Think Twice is an attempt to reconcile our conflicted emotions about Michael Jackson, the man, with our deep-seated love of his art.
Listen to Think Twice, Michael Jackson, on Audible and Amazon Music.
When you think about Colombian music, when you think about Mexican music, the accordion, which is an Austrian invention, vallenato, Mexican regional music right now is the number one musical genre on the planet per streaming on Spotify, and it's in the Billboard Hot 100 top five. So the interconnections of globalization in music, they're not new. They're
not
old.
At all.
They're old. The thing is, we're now fusing these things together in ways that we never even thought possible because of technology.
What you're reminding me, and this conversation is reminding me how important or how much we people of color struggle with identity, to be in a place where like they don't know what you are and you definitely are not that. You have to really define who and what you are in this place where you either identity is either told to you or you have to create it. So,
yes, but, I love that.
But here's what I want to ask you about the new project, Sakuta Day.
I'm a negra, dale pues, maya, mayate, maralo como solo, tú lo sabes hacer. Con la nena, yo nene, en la punta del pie, con la mano en la cabeza, sacúdete.
Which translated to English is like shake off, throw off. Like, what
like
does that
Taylor
mean?
Taylor Swift shake off song.
Oh, shake off. So my question is, what is it you feel music can do? And specifically, connecting to your past and your present, your past and your future, and helping you create your identity in the present. Like, what do you feel music has to say, and why do you call it Coup d'etat?
Wow, I love the I also love the formulation. It's really well. It's a very beautiful way to curate it, or also for all of our listeners, because it's like having the same conversation many times. We can always have it from a new perspective. So. For me, that's why exactly it took me a while to reach this ancestral futurism understanding. I think ancestral futurism in a way is a part of the answer to your question. It was the process that brought me. I was looking for that answer pretty much that you're asking right now. What do I do with these things that I'm just figuring out now about the past that can become dangerously painful to me, right? And to my present. And what do I do with this present that is just a pool of infinite possibilities.
Yeah,
is right.
It could create like a cultural cacophony where it's chaos and it's overwhelming.
Exactly.
So
How do you shake it off? Oh my god, yes! It's like a smoothie. So sakud, the album sakud is like a smoothie of. All the processes, the complexity of identities, the process of identities as well. What is Caribbean? What is Latino? What is Afro-Indigenous? What is Afro? This complex, complicated, not necessarily right word. Latino itself is also very complicated. So what do we do with all that? Like, let's make a smoothie of the whole thing and figure something out. Like a play game between the past and the present to imagine a new future, like to create a space where we can imagine a bit more freely. So we got a little bit serious with Malemba at the beginning. I was a bit more accurate about like getting that pain and processing out, because I felt that we as a society had not still yet done like our therapy. Everybody's doing therapy these days, which I love. And I felt like, wait a minute, this is something that requires social therapy. Colonization, right? The whole pain that's accumulated, nobody dealt with it, is just sitting in there. And it's all, but it's also projecting into the present and the future. That, and I said, I don't want my pain. I cannot allow my pain to become my present and my future. What do I do about it, right? So my ancestors had many ancestors. In fact, most cultures, right, prior to colonization, had integrated mechanisms in their culture to process everything and many things, creativity, mourning, pain, joy, like little rituals and bigger rituals, some of them also collective, which is something that somehow, you know, because of globalization, because globalization has taken us to more individualism and all this stuff, we have kind of lost touch with this collective practice,
right?
This sense that we can just be independent on our own and do everything on our own, which is kind of true, but it can also be too much individualism. So that's something all of us will have to figure out on our own. But but then Saku Malembe was a way to extrapolate my personal rituals and my process of finding out what to do with all that joy and that pain. This, go ahead, say sweet and sour and
bittersweetness.
Exactly. But then again, after that, all the songs that started to come were like a wider spectrum of everything that I was, that I am, that I will be.
Anda, camina, siembra, semilla, fluye cual río, siente la vibra. Anda, respira, mira para arriba, abre tus alas, vuela más allá de donde llega tu imaginación. Y siente el son de tu corazón, siente el ritmo y la alineación de tu alma con el universo. Que la vida es un ratito nomás, que una risa es todo y mucho más. Mi alegría es la tuya y mi pena también son tus penas. Que la vida es un ratito nomás. Tuya y mi pena también son tu pena.
You're being co-produced by Simón Mejía from Bomba Estéreo, Don Electrón from Kinky, and you're clearly bringing in a combination, a fusion of so many sounds, South American instruments, modern electronic music, etc. I wanted to ask you about your live performances of these songs. How much does movement play out in your language when you're performing these types of songs? How much is movement crucial to your art when you're performing?
Wow, that's incredible, because for me it's been kind of a struggle also. It was a struggle to figure out how much I want, because I play instruments, I produce, I always co-produce my songs. I'm always in the beat, behind the beat making as well. There's sometimes other producer, but there's always Gotopo also producing. That's something that I would love the audience to know. And then when it's a moment of performing it, for me was always a struggle to figure out, okay, if when you're playing an instrument, I mean, everyone here loves music. Let's assume that you have artists that you love to go to concerts, or at least watch concerts live. But mostly when you go to the concert, when there's an instrument between your body as an artist and the audience, there's a little bit of a certain, there's one kind of experience. And when it's just the artist with body expression and voice, and then it's different. At least in my experience as an artist, I have felt that it is different. It's not better or worse, it's just different. So, wow, it has been for me like a fascinating process to find out what's my sweet spot in between. So I make sure that I have a balance. I like to play instruments and I spend time behind my instruments. And I also love to spend time without them, just physically closer body to body with people. And the third element would be that I always make people sing on the concerts. I always put the mic at them and they become a part of the music. And it's crazy because the last time that I performed in Berlin, like, it has to be said, there was a bunch of Brazilians that has to be included in this, contextualizing to this before I say what I'm going to say. Like, there was a bunch of Brazilians in the front and Colombians, and all of a sudden, they just kept jamming out. Like, the song finished, and they kept jamming. And then the whole thing became a full-body percussion choral. The whole room became. And I just kept it going. Like, I helped it to continue. But people did it on their own. And it's crazy because every time I finish a performance, people always either physically to me or send me an audio text or whatever to describe many things. And one of the things is that they feel a part of the music, that they are a part of the music, that they didn't feel such a separation. Like, okay, artist, audience, like, and I love to hear that, because sometimes when you create and when you're thinking about your performance, you're always asking yourself, is this going to be clear? Is people going to get this? People going to feel that? You're always asking yourself all these things. It's a part of your process. And it's hard to explain how strangely beautiful it feels when it's like, of course you're going to get it. People come back to you telling you all the things that were behind your conscious and subconscious process of creating the art. People they finalize the piece, mm-hmm. the way I look at it. So I look for that balance, instruments, no instruments, and then the audience has to finalize the piece, the way I personally feel art works.
One, two, one, two, three, oh!
Sé que me gusta a mí, cómo no me va a gustar que me suban las ansias, que me vuelvan a bajar.
I love that because I think people are concerned with their carbon footprint, but not their emotional footprint. And you know,
oh my God, everybody, yes, thank you.
Everybody leaves one, and music leaves one.
Oh my God, beautifully said. The carbon print and the emotional print—that's so true. That's very much a much shorter way to say what I was trying to say.
I guess the question I had was just the power of words. I have someone had a guest on. I do a radio show, and I had on a raciolinguist, someone who, like, they're a linguist, but it's all about how race and is involved with in language. And it makes me look at everything differently. And people of color refer to the ancestors, while white people talk about the forefathers. It's gendered. It's different. So I'm just wondering your thoughts on the power of words, because Jack asked you about movement, and I love your answers and sound. But what about words? Because even the name of your album, there was a time where there were concept albums and things like that, but that's only something that started to come back. And you have a concept to everything. So I just want to know about your thoughts on the power of words, because it's such a big part of what you do.
That's interesting, because for me, one of the toughest things, remember I told you guys about questions that you ask yourself as an artist when you're creating, you're like, but is it going to be clear? It's just like, this is normal in the process, right? Of creating anything. And one of the things was that sometimes, because of the way the music we love and that we are presented with, sometimes comes with a certain way. It's curated in a certain way that makes you as a creative fall under the illusion that you have to have some sort of linear way of behaving, of talking, of acting, of everything. Because if you are not lineal, then maybe, you know, it's not going to be clear, or it's not going to sell or whatever. So one of the things that was for me a little bit, it was about that, was, okay, you have Piña para Niña, Cuckoo, Sacude, these songs that are very up-tempo. Some of them are tropical. And the diva is, and then you have the song with Simon Mejia, Bomba Estéreo, that is like a walk in a forest with like this ethereal vibe. And there were so many conversations that, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Is that really good? And I was like, yes, it does. Nobody's expecting some kind of fake lineal language. We are all multidimensional. So I was like, talking to my team, everyone around, don't be afraid. I feel like some of the best artists that I fell in love with last year and who have also sold a lot, have dared go back to put the music together in your album, not that fits certain genre, not that fits certain playlist, that it says what you need to say, because people will get it. They will connect with you if it's real and authentic. Not about, oh, it has to all sound like a trap in 140 BPM because it fits on la, 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 whatever. You know what I mean? People are not silly. And I feel this underestimating society and people and listeners so much. It's a stupid thing. So I was like, no, we are saying what we need to say. And you have the tropical mommy there in the album, and you have the magical ancient abuela that lives somewhere inside of me. They're all there. And that's the beauty of it. It's real. Coco is a perfect example of that, because back to the conversations that are polarizing, feminism. You talk about feminism and so many elements of society somehow, I don't know if they really feel triggered or they're playing as if feeling triggered. And I find that very funny, because everyone has a mother, isn't it? So everyone is a feminist. if you're not a feminist, okay, do you have a mother or not? So it, for me, it's as simple as that. But I thought, okay, cool. Things are getting polarizing and heated. I don't know. I thought like, okay, I remember how Caribbean music has some magic in the songwriter, in the songwriting, where the lyrics are like naughty and very light and they sound like very chilled and they're always hiding some more complex message. And I thought, okay, I want to use the power of this tropical songwriting vibe to bring air into this conversation of feminism. And I called it like a positive feminism. And so it's very naughty, very playful, but it's also very clear, no means no, right? So una mami rica, bella, tropica, she goes up dancing at night. Sometimes she loves to be touched, sometimes. And who told you, boy, that you can touch? And then, yeah, and then she moves sexy with her body. Like she's just being divine, but that doesn't mean you can touch. You know what I mean? But I'm doing it in that way, like a tropical mami would do it. And that's the power of words. How you say things, how they come across. It does matter. It never stops being important.
Quítame la mano, ¿de dónde la tiene? Ya te dije, nene, que eso no es así. Quítame la mano, ¿de dónde la tiene? Ya te dije, nene, que eso no es así.
You can catch Cotopo's new album, Sacúdete, dropping May 19th on all streaming platforms.
Deja, niño, echa, échate pa' allá. ¿Quién te dijo que tú puedes agarrar? Quítame la mano, mira, ¿de dónde la tienes tú? Quítame la mano, niño, que eso no es así. Quítame la mano, mira, ¿de dónde la tienes?
And that's it for this episode of Brown and Black. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Your help will allow us to be heard by many more people. You can follow our comments and opinions on @BrownBlackPodcast on Twitter, Instagram, and now on YouTube. We'll see you on the next episode of Brown and Black.
Si te va a agarrar, sabe cómo hacer. Mire que no hay nada que te envidie. Y si no sabe, pues llame a su madre pa' ver si le enseña cómo es que es. Mira cómo mueve en la cadera. Todas las mujeres de Colombia y Venezuela, la dominicana, la puertorriqueña. Ay, cómo se mueve esa carota brasilera. Mira cómo mueve en la cadera. Todas las mujeres de Colombia y Venezuela, la dominicana, la puertorriqueña. Ay, cómo se mueve esa carota brasilera.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.